You're listening to Breakthrough Assembly Podcast. Here at Breakthrough, we don't judge, just build. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you hear from God and receive your breakthrough today. Enjoy the message.
That's the prayer music. Just to settle down, stop talking. Let's get into God music. Okay. All right. Let's see. Somebody else open up prayer tonight. Who's it gonna be? Wow, you went looking around. Stacy, come on up here, girlfriend. Yeah, what are you talking about? Come on up here. We have Stacy, everybody. Come on. Yeah, there it is.
Hello. All right. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just protection on the way here, God. Thank you, Father, for your love and your kindness that we never deserve, that you always provide for us. Thank you for your love and your protection. Thank you, Lord God, for growth. Just in me personally, Lord God, and even in this ministry, Lord God, we just ask you to open our ears wide for us to hear you, Lord. Speak to us individually and collectively, Lord God. Help us to be able to understand whatever the message is that you want for us to hear today. Help us, Lord God, to just have an open heart, Lord God. Thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo!
All right, you guys can be seated. That one will go in my memory bank. That's historic that my Stacy opened up in prayer. That was historic. So, happy Wednesday, everybody. I think one of the cool things about our church is you can come to church energized or tired. You know, you can come here, you had a rough week, or it was a breeze. No sleep at all throughout the week, or you just woke up from a nap. You know, it's the different extremes. I think, like, my Lynn is probably the most energized because she probably just woke up, like, 2 hours ago or something. You know, when
by noon.
By noon? Okay. And I think that's a cool thing. Like, I look forward to my Wednesdays because not that I'm tired of seeing your face, but I always look forward to seeing my Lynn's face. And that's she reminds me of freshness, you know, throughout that time. So when things may be stale, you know, one thing can bring freshness. And so that's the cool thing. And so what I want us to look for are those little things, those little Lynns that you can grab as refreshing. Yeah. Those small things like my little small petite Lynn, you know, that no matter who I'm talking to on Wednesday, I look up and I see her, and inside of me there's always this burst, and I always say, Lynn! And so you want to make sure that we are never stuck in a mundane place of just this is the way it is. Because God is always blowing a leaf and something refreshing, if we look forward to it, if we're looking forward to it, if we're looking for that leaf that God blew, that something that we can say, thank you, Lord, for that. You know, the fact that not only Stacy was able to open up in prayer, but she was also able to give God gratitude for her growth. Yeah. And growth is one thing, but when you can identify with it, and you can say that you see the growth in you, most of the time as human beings, we're always the last time to see what everybody else has already seen. And so that's a cool thing when you can see growth. So in that area, how many, oh, that was so sweet. Mike got some brownie points right there. See, the men, I'm telling you, see. I'm telling you, when you get those free brownie points, they add up, Mike. I'm telling you, they add up. See, the fact that he just told his wife, see, he was like, you doing good, honey. And that was unsolicited, perfect timing. And so how many of us in here can recognize growth in you in this year of stability? Wow, that many, huh? Oh, my Navinka Center. Oh. That's awesome. Does anybody want to give a brief summary? Yes. It was bothering you?
It was a whole string.
You are my sister. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. That one strand can throw you off. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. And I did feel something weird, you know. I mean, but I was just assuming, and it was this wire right here. So thank you for that. Good job. That's see, you know, when somebody loves you, when they can stop and take that strand off. Amen. But you didn't get the strand. You didn't get the strand. Well, she's not wearing her glasses either, so I'm pretty sure she didn't see. That was not a dig. Will you stop trying to cause trouble in the sanctuary? What? Wow. You know? Yeah, you see, that's exactly how she did it, too. Ron pulled a strand. See? Yeah, good. See? You guys are wild in this church. Does anybody want to give a brief summary? Of course. Mike, everybody. Uh-huh. She was already moving towards him. Oh, y'all can give him more love than that. There it is. There it is.
I'm very bashful, very shy.
Yeah, I didn't
shy.
Have to. He was
very,
ready.
Very shy. slow to speak, as you guys all well aware. No, I actually just want to share a real small story about Marina.
Wow.
Like earlier in the year, late last year, we were trying to have family time. Every night reading the Bible, and I wanted to go kind of slow and explain things and go through the bottom text and explain stuff. You know, she's a brand new beginner, first time reading most of the Bible other than what the Gospels, basically here in Catholic service. And she kind of was like, no, I want to go. Like she was, I want to go. I want to learn. Nope, let's get through this thing. Let's move. Let's move. I'm like, that's not how you want to read the Bible. I was trying to tell her, but she didn't really listen that well. So then we took a little break just due to life. Busyness, summer, had Bible study with the neighbors, fell through. She was still reading diligently on her own, so we picked back up on it recently, and she's given me her whole methodology on how she reads through the Bible. She goes one chapter a night, she writes down notes the entire time as it's going, and at the end she summarizes the chapter and really digests it and what it means.
Dang.
And practical application in her own life.
Ow!
I'm like, this is way better than I was doing it before. So just old Marina wouldn't have done that. She's like, nope, we got to get through this thing. And new Marina is slowly, diligently trying to learn God's word. So I'm just very proud of her.
Wow. Oh! I know. Wow. Unsolicited shout out. Beautiful. I know. Just take it. Just receive it. Bring it in. No. And anyone else? Oh, okay. Thank you. I wasn't looking in that direction. No offense, please. No. Mm-mm. Tiny. Wow.
I definitely see the growth. It's still an ongoing growing thing, but I definitely know that there has been quite the transformation just within this year within me. Earlier this year, you know, as most of us do at the top of the year, you have high hopes, you know, you're declaring and decreeing. And then right around like third month of the year, life gets your butt. And then you are challenged to see if you're gonna still have that same vigor and zeal, and it definitely knocked me upside my head quite a bit. And I really struggled about the second quarter of the year up until the middle of the third quarter, just trying my best to like stay afloat. And I really had to go through some perspective changes and allow God to really have his way. And in that process, I'm learning what stability looks like for me. And so I can, you know, have a smile on my face. I may not have, you know, all of the answers. I'm learning that that's okay. I'm learning that I don't need the answers. And I am, you know, I have a better sense of just being, trying to be the human being and not the human doing. So, yeah, that's all.
Yes, you have to stand up, Marina.
So this year I stopped making decisions based on guilt.
Wow. Woo!
Yeah. Yep, I don't allow guilt to draw my decisions, make my decisions. I don't operate in guilt anymore. And my next battle is I worry too much. Mike is gonna love that. So I'm trying to catch myself in the act when I'm worried to call myself out on it and say stop.
That
so
awesome.
Those are my two big battles this year.
Those are huge, and you are tackling them.
I'm tackling.
Woo! Paula.
My COVID off.
Paula.
So I within this year, it's been a lot of growth I see in myself. One thing is learning not to run away from situations and to deal with it. Not to God has been showing me he has been putting me into situations where I can't control it and making me trust him to control it and only being able to go to him about it. And that is very different for me. But it is, and I've noticed this year I've been way more emotional because of it. But it's okay to be emotional because it, long as I'm not reacting and doing things out of the will of God, because I'm not supposed to be doing that. So that's big growth right there for me, because normally I would react to situations and my first mind would be to make me happy to deal with situations, and it has not been that within the last year at all. Yesterday made a year since I had my mental breakdown. And within this whole year, just noticing how everything in my life has changed, and the woman I am now versus the woman I was, being more calm. It was funny, because yesterday somebody was like, "You coming outside?" I said, "For what?" Like, I don't go outside anymore. Like, my value for family and life and everything has changed within the last year. And it wasn't like that before. Before it was just work, 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 make this money. And now it's trying to appreciate the time God is giving me and really genuinely enjoying the things he has blessed me with and not taking it for granted.
That was was great. I did feel the slow slow clap on there. But yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. Yeah. I know. It's a beautiful thing. Just receive it, Paula. Just receive it. It's all in love.
It ends today.
It can't. Hall of Fame, you can't stop it. One thing that I'll say to add on to... Hold on, YouTube. One thing that I will say to add on to what you said. I loved everything that you said. The only caveat that I would add to change one thing you said. When you said it's okay to be emotional, I would put a caveat and say it's okay to feel and embrace the emotion, but don't become emotional. Because when you... Say that again.
I said that makes sense.
Oh, good. Because we want to embrace that emotion. It's okay to be angry. The Bible says just don't sin, you know, with the anger. It's okay to cry, but don't let that crying take you to depression, you know. So being emotional is being caught up in that emotion. And then we become irrational and we can't hear from God because we're too busy feeling that emotion. So it's okay to embrace that emotion. Just don't let it make you emotional. That's the only thing I would add to that caveat. Outside of that, that was wonderful. Yes. For those that came in on this tardy, we're just talking about those that, how you determine yourself that there's growth in this year. And so we just have people verbalizing the internal growth that they see within themselves in this year. Anybody else before we move on that wanted to say something? My Jesse. With the cute outfit on.
Forgiveness.
Ooh. Yeah. Wow. And I love it. Come on. Everybody listen. Because you would look at this woman of God and you think she just oozes forgiveness. But this is why I love the real stories of believers. Because we can look like we have it all together, but we're going through something else. Okay, and take it. Action.
And as far as the oozing forgiveness, I ooze love, and I would try to, instead of really forgiving someone, I would just try to override that anger or hurt with love. I would try to, oh, it's all right. I truly love everyone, and I will get over it because that's how God made me, and I'll just love them. I will love them so much that it won't bother me anymore. So I had to really give that anger to God, because I would find myself, and I'm not an analyzer, I don't have to go over things in my head all the time, but if something, an unforgiveness issue would come up, it would consume my thoughts. I would be doing some project and, you know, I'm like, why am I wasting? I'm wasting so much time and energy being upset about something that they don't even acknowledge that they've done. They don't even know it. They don't even know it. And once I said, okay, that is God made me to love and to genuinely love. And that's part of it. That is part of it, the forgiveness. And, yeah, I've had a couple different situations where I was like, oh, and then I was like, nope, it's not creeping back in. So I've really grown in that area.
For sure. Amen. That's good. Did she touch you right there?
Right.
Okay. And put it down. You don't even understand the question. Put it down. Yes. It's okay. And so it's the fact that he's participating is a beautiful thing, okay? He had participation points.
For me, it's going to be...
Are you sitting or are you standing? Okay, oh, there it is. Okay, very good. Okay.
It's going to be accountability at the top. Everything else kind of falls underneath that, because I understand even... in anger, even when being wronged, even when you're rightfully wronged, you don't necessarily have to just consume being the victim, pointing out every single thing that person did to wrong you, and then trying to justify why I'm angry. So I shared it a couple weeks back where I just knew I was right in the situation. And I was like, well, God, if I'm wrong, then show me. And then he showed me. And that's a part of accountability, because I usually don't care if I'm wrong, because you've convinced yourself for so long that I'm right. Like, I have a right to feel like this. And even when, you know, you do have a right to be like Pastor just said, I'm in this emotion. Yeah, I am angry, but I have taken anger further than it ever should have went. I'm still working on forgiveness. I can't even say that I'm working on it. It's more so God working on me, because it's certain situations that are out of my control. And I think Pastor preached that as well, too. We think about peace as just this, oh, bubbly feeling, but some things I've been numb to. So some things is just like, oh. And I would be thinking about of old Mercedes is like, why you ain't? And I don't know, it's just slowly anger has gotten away from me because God has keep on showing me the accountability. If certain people don't know God and I profess that I do, you know, it's not how he looks at them and their foolishness, but he looking at me like, Mercedes. And I'll be like, wait a minute. No, no, let me have this. Let me have this. It happened to me today. And he was like, but I got you. And I'm like, but it could, I could just, and it worked out. When you understand God's favor, person was dead wrong, and I was in the customer service, and the lady just looked at me like, well, we're going to give you this for free, and then we'll just give you your money back, and then we'll just cancel that person. I'm like, that works for me. But I still wanted to say, like, ha ha. And then God was like, you don't need that. I'm like, accountability has been my main thing.
Oh, that was beautiful. Anyone else before we wrap this up and move on? Okay. That's...
Hello. Okay. Growth. I've seen growth in myself with trusting God and having faith, which has been difficult. Like, it's like I see myself as a child, like kicking and screaming. Because I'm like, this faith thing just don't work for me. You know, I'm a person of numbers, and it's got to make sense. And it, you know, it just has to flow. And if it doesn't, then I can't be down with it. But trusting in the Lord is literally like walking blind. So I'm just, that's just where I am. So just trusting the Lord, and just excited about the fact that, like, for years, I remember you bringing it up, like, years ago, I said I couldn't hear from God, like, God don't talk to me, like, ever, and I'm like, I don't get it, like, I don't get what, why am I exempt from him talking to me, and, like, he talks to me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what everybody was talking about, wow, but then I had to realize I had to put myself in a position to be able to hear, so constantly reminding myself of that, which is hard, because life is so busy. And there's so much going on, it's very, very easy to just not even intentionally block God out. Like something as simple as, I'm gonna, you know, I watch a movie sometimes while I'm working. Don't judge me, don't judge me, okay? So I'll be doing something that doesn't require a whole lot of attention. You know, I'll be watching a movie, and instead of watching a movie, I could be listening to a word. You know what I mean? Like something like that, which gives God time to really be able to minister you and talk to you. So little stuff like that, yeah, just like, not taking that time with God for granted. So I'm happy about that growth.
That's some good stuff. You know, one thing that, you know, Stacy said about, I remember saying, and that's one of the largest water bottles I've ever seen in my life. Stacy, can you lift that up so the whole congregation can see that, the largest water bottle ever in history? Oh my God. Wow. You are hydrated. That's all I have to say. If there's any question, you are hydrated. And I'm feeling a little shame for myself based on what, yeah. Even though I said don't judge, don't compare. Wow, okay. You know, adding something to what Stacy said, I remember those conversations, and it was more like you just blurting out something in anger, you know, how you couldn't hear him. But what I try to tell people is that he's always talking to us because we're his child. It's just that we have to learn how to tune out the voices that we've become accustomed to and tune up his voice. And so we have to tune down or turn down those voices, like our opinion has a voice. And sometimes when we think we know it all, our opinion is the loudest voice. Yeah. Any of us, it's difficult, as I'm already preaching the stage. So is anyone that you, when you trust what you say or your thoughts, you know, Marina, you, Hollywood, you ain't even have to put your hand up, I already know. And so it's difficult, you know, I'll say I don't have to look to the right, but there's two people that's on my right side that fits in that category, very strongly. That's Hollywood Marina and the one looking around to see who else it is outside of Mike. And he's looking around to see who else it could possibly be. I know, right. So exactly. So the light is on you. And so a lot of times when we don't even know we're opinionated because we don't really hear our opinion. We just give it. But our opinion has a voice. And so when we turn down our opinion, we turn down the know-it-all aspect of our flesh. And then the more you turn down your know-it-all, the less you know. And then the more you feel like you need to know. And then you recognize if I don't know, then now I want to know what he knows. But when you know it all, we're not trying to hear what God has to say because we already know. And so it's very important. I had to learn how to do that because I was a know-it-all. And you couldn't tell me anything. And I was very opinionated. And I had to learn how to be able to hear from God, because I used to go through a season. I'm like, how do I know if it's God or if it's my flesh, or, you know, how do I know if that's God? And so I had to go through that transition to understand that if it was contrary to the word of God, I would eliminate it, knowing that that's not God, because God will never say anything contrary to his word. And then I had to learn if it was beneficial to my spirit realm, it was not my flesh, because my flesh didn't want to do anything beneficial to my spirit realm, nor would the enemy tell me to do anything that was beneficial to my spirit realm. So I had to learn how to identify the principles and the word of God to find out who was talking to me. And that takes time, too. Because so many times we decide what we think is best for us. But when you really get to a place with God that you only want God, you don't want what you think is good for you. You only want what is good for you. And then it's no longer about what feels good, because you don't care if it feels good or if it looks good, you know it will be good. And when you want God, all you want is what will be. And you're willing to go through what doesn't feel good or look good or sound good, because you know at the end result, his word said that all things will work together for our good. So you know, even if I go through it, at the end of it, it's going to work for me.
Hallelujah.
But you have to know it's going to work for me, not my flesh. And that's how we have to learn how to kill our flesh, by going through seasons, trials, and tribulations. Like, I think of Hollywood, also known as Mercedes, and I think of the journey, the short journey, that the amazing short journey that she's gone through since being a breakthrough, but it's all what God said. I mean, he said she was going to go through that. He said, you know, some things were going to have to be quick. You know, he said something that you're going to have to just get over it. So some things he has to do to her like he did to Marina and Mike. Some things he got to do a quick backhand for you. And be like, I don't have time for this. We don't have time to extend this for a year. I need you in the next 2 months. So get it together. You know, get your feelings together. And so I remember when Mike and Marina came here, and I think it was after a couple weeks, he was like, okay, I'm going to give you the French backhand. You know, get it together, y'all, because I need you for ministry, for breakthrough. And then boom. And so the same thing. And so, you know, with that being said, it's as what the conversation piece that we're going to talk about tonight is dealing with the promise of God or dealing with the promises. And so sometimes the promises of God conflicts with the will of man. And there's an inward battle that we have to face, party people, if you're with me. There is an inward battle because sometimes our flesh generally wants to do a certain thing a certain way. Like, one of the things that I don't even live in their house, but I know my Marina has to have certain things meticulously a certain way. I don't even have to look at her face. I already know God has downloaded my Marina unto me. I know I'm all the way her pastor. I understand her. I understand the way she thinks. And I don't even have to talk to her or even ask her husband, am I right? And so I'm sure he's had issues of why do you have to do it like this? Or why? Without even talking to them, I understand it because God has downloaded him to me too. So with that being said, it's important. And then they had their conversation while I'm talking about, which is so cute and adorable. And so when we understand that there's some meticulous things, certain ways that Marina wants things, and then God has to deal with her and say, I know you want it that way, but for this season, it won't be. And then he's going to allow her to go through it, throwing everything out of sort on the inside of her while she takes it out on everybody around her. No, he didn't say anything to me. Only God did. And so I know that she's going to drive my Navinka crazy and take stuff out on my Navinka just because inwardly there's some things on the inside of her that's not in order. And that means that God is changing the order for her. That brings a temporary disturbance for permanent pleasure. And so sometimes when God recognizes there's some things that's in you that's going to conflict with my promise. So my promise is like I've talked about a couple weeks ago. My promise is over here waiting for you on Blessing Avenue. But right now we're on Disturbance Street. And I have to disturb some things in you to change some things so that when you get to Blessing Avenue, you'll be able to fully grab that blessing and run with it. Versus battle with it because there's still internal conflict. And so what we have to understand is because of what's on the inside of us, sometimes God has to fix some things the way that we like it, the way that it has to be. Sometimes we don't even know how to love, so God has to mess up some relationships that we thought was love for him to show us how dysfunctional it was so that we can receive the true love.
Come on.
Down the line. And what we thought was love and we thought was good enough, God says, I didn't call you for good enough. I called you for abundance. You're going to need me to slow down? Oh, I'm actually saying what God's saying. So how do you tell God to stop what he's doing? I don't understand. The fleshness is close to me. And so, Jesse, get her together over there. I'm assuming we're taping this, so hey, you know, figure out how you know, get it on the podcast after Tiff does her editing, whatever. So with that being said, see, sometimes dealing with the promise is a conflict to the flesh. And sometimes we think the devil's coming at us, and it's not. It's God fixing us. And so sometimes we want to start rebuking the enemy, and the enemy is the flesh that God is dealing with so that we can grab that promise and receive it to the fullness and how God desired us to have it. So sometimes the true enemy is just our flesh.
Yeah.
Come ready on Wednesday night.
It's whatever Wednesday, you just never, it's whatever. It's whatever. And so sometimes what we don't understand is the enemy is our flesh, not the devil. The enemy is God's enemy because that thing is trying to prohibit us from receiving the promise that God wants to deliver. Sometimes our enemy is our habits. And our habits will conflict with the blessings that God wants us to have. There's some things my Jessie won't get until she walks in forgiveness. And so she has to battle the enemy on the inside of her, which is forgiveness, trying to block her from the love God wants her to demonstrate at all times. And we all have an enemy. I love hearing Hollywood talk about what God is doing with her, because she's always unfolding something on the inside that you wouldn't know. But there were times that she sat back and just listened to everything. But then all of a sudden, she was so full, she couldn't just be quiet anymore, and she had to just get up, and she didn't even understand why. She's just blah and just saying it. But what she don't understand is she's also being a blessing to my junior security. And she's pouring into my more, and so she's getting what you are pouring in, not even understanding, because she's on alert because she's junior security, so she has to be on constant alert. So you're pouring into her and you're blessing her, and she's growing at an elevated rate because of how much you're pouring. And so with that this is the beauty for your ashes. And so when we're dealing with the promise, God promised it, but where's our ushers? Come on now. Come on, where's Jesse's staff? You know, tissue always supposed to be. Okay. And so with this, it's important to understand that, you know, when God gives us a promise, he gave us a promise with full intent to be there. He said, because, lo, I will be with you
always.
Even to the end of time. So through the transition, he'll be with you, trying to prepare you to make sure that you're dealing with that thing so that you can constantly always inherit each promise. But he never said that dealing with the promise wouldn't be difficult and challenging at times. He never said you wouldn't cry. He never said you wouldn't get sad. But he gave us tools to help us in those different transitions going through the process. And this breakthrough is why he put in there, don't forsake the local assembly, so that we can come together and we can be able to speak on how we've grown, and then it bounced, and everybody can say, oh my God, there's so much growth, but you wouldn't even recognize it sometimes unless it's asked to you. I mean, his wife received two unsolicited shout outs. She became uncomfortable for a minute. Now the shoulders are shimmering, but at first they were still in shock. And I didn't say, come on, man, listen, you want to get out the doghouse, Mike, you might want to say something nice. I didn't even have to do that, and he did that. So it's important to understand, sometimes dealing with the promise of God is not easy. And that we want to be able to talk about. We want to put those ice cubes in the glass when we shake it. Sometimes we think it just comes out, Asia. I don't know. It's just. I don't understand. So it's important to understand. Y'all still shaking it? See, that's the promise. Press down, shaking together, running over. Come on. Listen. Don't mess with me. I know the word. Listen. So. Okay, can we bring it back? Could it not be about you for a moment? I understand. Can you? Okay. Thank you. So I want us to think, because sometimes we've grown up in a lie, so we lived a lie. And some of us, we grew up and you got a promise of God, and then you want to shout, hey! Now you want to go to the Hyundai and Honda dealership, you know. Should have bought a Honda, but I bought a Hyundai. And next thing you know, you are running around shouting. That's how some people learn how to speak in tongues. I'm just saying. They say that phrase, should have bought a honey, but about a honey. They say it 10 times fast. Next thing you know, they caught up. So my point is, sometimes you got a promise and you ran with the promise, but you had no instruction on how to get it. And that was the lie we lived, talking about what God's going to do, not understanding that truly faith without works is dead. So we ran with the faith, but we did no work. And wanted to know why we had no results. Mm-hmm. It's nothing worse than a prophet that can tell you what God said and then run away, and you have no instruction on how to get what God said. It's nothing worse than a bishop. They got the title and the collar, but don't have the patience to walk you through how to get what God has promised. Are we getting this? Wow, that was aggressive. My Mercedes wanted to make sure this was being recorded and was just a little aggressive over it. Okay, enthusiastic, I like that word. So let's go to, you guys are funny, I love your personality. You were something else. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11. Yes, the babies have spoken. Proverbs chapter 11. When you get chapter 11, let's go ahead and hit let's go to verse number 12, and I think we'll stop at what'd you say? Did you say fooey? Oh, no, I said booyah. No, I was on there. I didn't know. Oh, you were, okay. So let's go to verse number 12. It says, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. And see, one of the a great way to understand that particular one is that if you don't have wisdom, you'll despise your neighbor. And what does that mean? You don't understand that your neighbor has things that you need, but you don't have the wisdom to understand, because you think you bought into that neighborhood or you're renting in there, so that's your property, and you feel like you don't need anybody. If you had wisdom, you recognize there will be a time you're going to be out of your house. And if you paid attention to that neighbor and was nice to them, they may watch your house when somebody's trying to break in. But if you want to always be antisocial and don't want to speak to your neighbor and all those things, they may pay no attention when somebody's taking your car. So you want to operate in wisdom, and it's letting us know, if you don't have wisdom, you won't recognize that what is around you could be beneficial to you. This is why I say all the time, Paula caught up on that, and I thought it was an amazing idea what she asked to do as far as just asking about what we have in this ministry. Why? Because God has said from the beginning of Breakthrough that anything that we need is in the house. Anything that we need, he's always said it, and he's already proven it. And I always said, if we suffer, we're suffering because there's still some flesh and some pride that needs to go. Or you're not willing to give it up or let it be exposed. So in 12 says, he that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A man of wisdom recognizes where the peace resides. A man of wisdom, and when you hear a man of wisdom, this is not on a male perspective. This is a human perspective. So this is man and female. God created he, them. So when we're saying man, we're actually talking plural here as human beings. And when you are operating in wisdom, you're holding your peace. My Mercedes is walking in wisdom as God is, but he's doing it through training. and you're saying, "Ooh, I would love to," and you reckon, but you're walking also in wisdom and obedience, because when you want to, like, "Oh, but there's still some more I could say," and the Holy Spirit saying, "But you don't have to," and you're like, "Oh, okay." So she may have to drive home frozen. But it's good, because you're walking, you're frozen with your peace. Amen. And then verse number 13, it says, "A talebearer revealeth secrets." A talebearer. See, you don't want to be a talebearer. You don't want to be somebody that's always talking and exposing and gossiping. And this is why I've said before, I've rarely said it, but sometimes I'll say there is what you call that phrase addition by subtraction. And there are people who are no longer in this ministry that if you asked me over a nice hot cup of tea, "Pastor, are you glad they're gone or sad they're gone?" I'd say no comment. But if you gave me a little truth serum, I'd say I'm glad, because we don't want talebearers or gossipers in this ministry. Why? Because we don't judge. We just build. And we don't want to judge and talk about somebody. If my Amora told me something in private, it is my job to keep it so that she can understand, that she can share with her pastor. But it, when she tells me something and then I go to Mike and say, "You will never believe what Amora said." And then let's say, you know, Mike can't keep a secret. So now he telling everybody, "You will never believe what Pastor told me." Now it's going to get back to my Amora. I have not only broken her trust in me, but I've broken her trust in who I represent as God. Now she don't want to have nothing to do with me, and she don't want to have nothing to do with anybody who say they're godly. That's how it goes. People walk out of church. That's when you get the church hurt thing, saying those church people. All because of being a talebearer. But a person with wisdom knows how to hold it in. You understand? Verse number 12, "A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." See, faithful spirit. I prove to her I'm faithful because I can conceal it. Okay? And so the beautiful thing is, if my Mercedes ever share anything personally with me or my wife, and then she keeps coming to church and nobody's saying, "Girl, I'm praying for you." Cause that's code for, "I heard about what's going on." That's church code. The more she don't hear people saying, "I'm praying for you," the more she recognizes, "Oh, it didn't get out." So next thing you know, she feels out. She feels she can share. And she now can agree that what Pastor said, that this is a safe space and a safe place, and she can trust it. And now she can go to other people and say, "Listen, I know what's going on there, but if you come here, I know what they're doing there, but if you come here, it's different." Why? Because it's been proven. Are we getting this? So verse number 14. And then we get to where the meat is, where there is counsel, or excuse me, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I've said this last year, and now we're in it in this ministry here. I said last year, I cannot keep going on at the pace I was going last year, or I would pass out. And I said, I need help. I remember last year, I was like, I need people to step up. I can't. It's like the church can't grow with me having to be in every counseling session. The church can't grow with me having to be in every meeting and make decisions. The church can't grow if I'm on everybody's committee. I used to tell them, and people said, "Pastor, what do you think?" I was like, "I don't think anything. I'm out of thoughts. Pastor, should we do this? Should it be brown or blue? I don't care." Pick a color. I remember saying before, "Hey, if you waiting on me, we ain't gonna have it." Bad English. "If you waiting on me, we're not gonna do it. There's a whole bunch of ideas, but Pastor Bobby can't do it anymore." And lo and behold, people start coming and saying, "You know what? I could do this. Or what about this? Or what about this?" And now things happen and I don't have anything to do with it. Guess what? People dance and I don't even know what song they're dancing to. It's a beautiful thing. Are you understand what I'm saying? There's a youth lock-in coming up on a Friday night. Pastor had nothing to do with it. All I told her is do it. Do you understand? But you understand what I'm saying? That's 14. The multitude of counselors, there's safety. You understand? So make sure that you don't lose what God has said to you. Make sure you don't lose it. Because sometimes when you get a promise, make sure you don't lose it. And make sure you're not sharing it with those that hasn't determined based on the scripture that they, in 13, that but he that is faithful of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You have to be able to share with those that has deemed themselves faithful unto God. Are you getting that? Okay, very good. Now, go to James chapter 1, verse 8. James 1. Yes, it is, Mom. She said the famous phrase. Yes, the famous phrase, for sure. Sometimes you know the famous phrase, but you don't know where it is. Now you get, thank you. So, in James is talking. And he said in verse number 8, well, okay, you know it.
I thought it was going Latin with Proverbs.
You never know. I just never know. So, one, let's just hit it from the origin. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Why is he saying that they're scattered abroad? Anybody know?
Because they're all split up.
What does that mean?
They all went different ways.
All I hear is
okay, can I have a
moment? Open violations are all over this place. Woo, that was something else. It's okay.
It's because they're all split up.
What does that mean?
They went their different ways to teach the word of God out in the streets.
Why?
Because that's what they do.
First of all, I love that
answer. Because they are the apostles, and they were told to do that by Jesus.
Thank you. That's what they do. That right there was a beautiful, and of course, Mike needs to add onto that. But that answer, because that's what they do, will stay in the top 10 for the remaining of 2022. Because that's what they do. Loved it. I know.
It says the 12 tribes, not the 12 apostles, though. Like the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay, however, where did the 12 tribes come from? And what's the origin of the 12 tribes?
They were the 12 sons of Israel or Jacob.
What do they represent?
Oh, the 12 apostles?
Yes.
Probably they're supposed to do what the original 12 tribes of Israel
was. Exactly.
And spread the gospel around the world.
Yes. Because 12 can only do so much.
Right.
So 12, there it is. So 12 tribes could do more than 12 tribes could do more than 12 apostles.
That's right.
So when we understand this, we have to. We're getting this very, very good on that with Joanne. So with that, let's hit this for a moment. Okay. So. He said, he was talking to them, they were scattered abroad. I asked that so that we can learn that lesson and why were they scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad on an assignment to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, so if we don't know why something has started, we'll be lost in the middle. So I wanted us all to understand what that meant. Two says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, this is one of the most unexplained scriptures in the Bible. People say, that is crazy. I don't understand it. Why in the world was James trying to say, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations? Does anybody know why that is? Okay.
Okay, I'll answer it.
Okay, I'll let Mercedes go first and I'll let you go second.
To taking a guess what I've experienced to count it all joy, because you've gotten to a place where now he can trust you with that temptation.
You gave me the shoulder after that.
That's my guess.
Yeah. Okay. Before I say anything, did you want to say anything still? Okay. You get 5 points for just going for it. Go ahead.
Okay, so my understanding on is when we are told to count it all joy, when we're going through our trials and tribulations, that we hand it to the Lord. So we're thanking him for our trials and tribulations because it's a growth aspect of it. We're getting out of ourselves and we're trusting him totally.
Okay. Oh, okay, Mom.
And say, just in short, it's proof of our faithfulness.
He wants us to count it all joy because it gives us an opportunity to show the enemy how good God is through that temptation, because it gets us to test our free will and count it all joy. Because when God is with you, even when you go through whatever that temptation, when, prime example, when Jesse has to, like, oh, she tried to forgive you by loving you harder. And that doesn't work. You can only forgive them by going through the process of forgiveness. You can't overly love. So to count it all joy, when you fall into that temptation, now, Lord, you're giving me an opportunity to squash this. You're giving me an opportunity to use my free will for the good. You're giving me an opportunity. I'm going through this thing. You're giving me an opportunity to be an overcomer like you called me. You're allowing me to overcome this thing. I can count it all joy because you're giving me another chance to show the world how good you are, Lord God, through my obedience. So instead of here we go again, like, this time I'm ready for you, sucker. Have you ever said, if I ever get another chance, I'll be ready?
Yeah.
And then when you get another chance, you're like, well, I got to go through this again. Didn't you already say if you get another chance, you'd be ready?
Right. Come on now.
So it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work is what? The trying of your faith will break off patience. How many of us started at the beginning of the year saying we had none? Don't hurt your arm. You got to stretch if you're going to go that straight. Okay. I want you to pull something. I see you, Amari. Amari said he was dealing with patience at the beginning of the year. Amen. Amen. Now, my question to him is he any better now in the month of October? He may not understand that. But how many of us say that our patience level is better than it was in at the beginning of the year? Now, but with that, oh, that was a stern look while you're looking at that. Everything okay over there? Oh, okay. Now my question is, I was like, y'all started off so good in the beginning of the service. Y'all fell off quick. But with that, how many of you went through some, as I would say, some things in order to get that patience? See, this is the thing. So you had to exercise, so go through some things to get the revelation of the patience.
Yes.
You can't get patience without going through things. It's going to test your patience.
Right, yeah.
Is your hand up, or was that just a very straight amen?
Oh. It was both. I was like, yes. Because you said, like, I was literally thinking that. I'm like, the same way you just said that with patience. It's like, we struggle in an area and then we pray for God to help us in that area. And then we get hit with so many things because those are the things that are going to produce what we prayed for.
Yes.
So whether it be peace.
Yes.
Cause like listen, when I told you I was adamant for years, it's probably still am, I praying for peace and praying for clarity. But when I tell you, it seemed like every day was confusion because it's like, but it was because I feel like God was bringing me these things because it was like, you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Clarity just ain't like what Mercedes was saying earlier, like the, or, you know, referring to what you talked about before, that peace ain't, it isn't a beautiful blanket that's just like, huh. Like, no, that peace means that like, you have to have something to have peace about. like to show that it is there, that it's present. To have clarity, you have to actually be able to be have a sound mind, you know, and you're not going to have that unless you're presented with things that would combat that. So that way you can, you know what I mean? So that.
Totally. Think about it. You can't have a sunny season without a cloudy day. God, you can't have a sunny season. Is your hand up? You can't have a sunny season without that cloud first. That cloud has to be moved. So when you, oh, okay, I don't know what that was, Mercedes. I don't really understand that, but okay. That was a new one for me. And her eyes was closed, and she, I don't know if that's keep going or something. I don't really know. But so whatever we are waiting for, God has to send something ahead of that to get it. So you can't have peace. Like, what's the opposite of peace? You can't have. How do you know it's peace without that challenge or turmoil coming? You don't know peace has arrived until the turmoil or challenge is gone. So there has to be a removal before there is an inheritance of what you prayed for. You can't say, Lord, I want to have clarity. You can't have clarity without a whole bunch of fog. You got to have a whole bunch of got to have a whole bunch of distractions going on before you have clarity. So that we have to understand. When you pray for something, God's going to send something. That's going to help you get what you prayed for.
Yeah, come on now. That's true.
You said, Lord, I want discernment. Okay. Then God's going to give you a whole bunch of things and people.
Come on.
This is going to test your discernment and your judgment of people. And guess what? He's not going to send you a basket of all good ones either.
That's right.
To develop your discernment, it's like tasting. Like, you know when people taste wine, they have all those glasses, and you got to keep taking a little sip of each one to determine what's on each one little thing. You know, since it's developing your palate. Well, God has to develop your spiritual palate by some tasting of all these different things to determine, oop, that's bad.
Yeah.
Oop. Ugh, bottle looks good, but what's on the inside? Nope. Are we getting that? Go ahead, Paul.
It's all on my face. No, because it just hit my heart. And this ties in. I'm coming.
No, oh. I was just doing Mercedes.
Oh.
Yeah, no,
oh.
See, I told you, it's confusing. You don't know what that means.
I feel a little warm and fuzziness. I don't know why. But... would you saying that about patience and then like it just ties some things together from the beginning of this message or sermon or whatever it says about growth. So in growth and patience, I always say I don't have patience for kids, especially ones that are not mine. And so in praise dance rehearsal Monday, before we started, we prayed. But my patience, because we have little babies in praise dancing now. And that was the first thing we prayed for. But I just wanted to take this moment to shout out God for growth, number one, in the praise dance team, and the patience. When I say, I taught these little babies a move one time and they had it. Like, this just warmed my heart because I always said I didn't have patience. And dealing with new dancers and kids. First of all, I'm praying for God to bless us with bigger sanctuary because we about to take over. But it's just amazing just hearing you talk about that. I'm just thinking like, wow, like I didn't have not one problem. Like it flowed so smoothly Monday with the babies, the new dancers, the old dancers. It just flowed. And that's an answered prayer.
Yes, amen. Listen, I'll always say this. When most people say you don't have patience, I say, yes, you do. You just don't have the desire for patience.
Come on now.
And so we can say we don't have patience for years. And that's, again, it's just an excuse not to do what you're supposed to do. So if you say I don't have patience for it, all you're doing is excusing yourself for being accountable for doing it.
Right. Come on.
So when you say, I don't have patience for kids, all you're doing is giving you a get out of jail free card of why you never have to work in the children's ministry. It's an excuse. It's your excuse card for why you don't have to do what God's called. But when you say, Lord, give me what a pastor helped me when I was younger, that what he changed my way of thinking by saying a prayer that changed my whole graph of life when he said, pray for a mind for that thing. And when I began to pray for a mind for it, my mind began to change on that thing. And so I began to have a mind for something God wanted me to have. So my mind now matched, my will matched his word. Before, I didn't have a mind for it. So when he said, I'm like, please, I don't know who you're talking to. I'll pray about it. I'll pray for somebody. But that person wouldn't be me. But then my mind was, Lord, whatever you want me to do. So when you prayed, Paula, your mind was there and God was able to move.
Amen. Amen.
So. When we think about it, so in James 1:8, when it says, well, where do we end up?
We're on three?
Jesus. Okay. Wow. Okay. I thought we were going to get down. Wow. We just finished three? Wow, man. Okay. So 4, but let patience have her perfect work. See, stop right there. See, I know that's the problem. That's why we can't ever get to where we're supposed to be. Because I know. Hey, you know, I'll do better one day. Listen, let patience, chapter 1, verse 4. I don't know what you just said. Your accent changed there. I know. I was like, I don't know what you just said. You sounded like Nevada right there. 4, but let patience have her perfect work. See, patience having her perfect work means let her go, let patience go through the process with it.
Yes.
Oh. When you say, Lord, give me the mind for patience, give me the desire for it, don't think you're going to wake up and be like, I'm patient, everybody. It's a process to develop patience. Amen. I did not start out as a pastor with patience for God's people. My first few years, really, Mom? That was not the wrong timing, Mom. Wrong timing. I mean, I was like, it was no gray when I first gave up, when I first became a pastor. I was like telling everybody, you're sinning.
Yep. Sit down.
The Charlie of 2.5 years ago would have loved the fresh pastor, Bobby Gross, because Charlie, when we first came here, wanted everybody to know they're going to hell. you're going to hell. And that's how I was when I first started pastoring. You are going to hell. It was no in between.
Right.
I'm glad you didn't know me, sweetie, because it was no grace. It was no mercy. It was you either living right or you're not.
Right.
Okay. I was such a wild young pastor. I literally had signs put on chairs at one place that says believer or non-believer. No, worshiper or non-worshiper. And I said, if you didn't worship, you had to sit in a chair with a sign on it that said non-worship.
Oh my God.
I know the building we were in. I remember a person's face that sat and had to sit uncomfortably for an hour and a half in a chair that told them they were a non-worshipper. Never came back. And I remember repenting to God afterwards. Well, so did I. But I was so strong that they would have felt more uncomfortable getting up. I'm telling you, I'm not the same person I was, but I remember these things and I share it because I always wanted the church to know about development and God's grace, his love on people. You can start somewhere, but that's why I always say, where you start don't mean that's where you got to end.
Yeah, come on now.
And we should always have a story to tell, a testimony of how we gave God ourselves and what we thought was right and gave it to him so he could show us the wrong, so we can make sure nobody else follows the wrong that we walked in.
Amen.
Amen. And so this is why I'm a worshiper. I worship because I'm so thankful for him being so gracious in my life. Because he could have stopped me right then, being that judgmental, hothead pastor who thought he was getting everybody to Christ, but all he was doing was chasing them away. Thinking that God was such a hammerhead, that God was, and that's not God. But that was the God that I knew, because those people that was around me, that's how they said God was. Right. And until I broke away from those people and the spirit of religion, that's when I developed a relationship with him. So when it says, but let patience have her perfect work, it's a perfection work with patience that God does. And everybody's patient process is different. None of us goes through the same one. He's work, because we're all dealing with different things. Some of us are dealing with anger. Some of us are dealing with depression. Some of us are dealing with whatever. And we're fighting different things and learning to be patient with God while he's helping us. Does that make sense? It says, so let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I remember when Charlie first came here, he was disturbed by a lot of my teachings because he didn't think I was hard enough. He thought I was talking about too much love. And he was like, when you going to talk about... the gnashing of teeth.
He wanted to hear brimstone.
He did. Fire and brimstones is what he wanted, and he said it. And I had to tell him, this isn't that church, because God has shown me grace, and I need to show people that there's a balance of that thing. Yeah. That's a part of the word, too, but there's a whole other part, too. And then and 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We talk about a double-minded man, but we don't talk about the wavering and being tossed to and fro. Because if you're not operating in faith, you're going to waver. If you're operating in analytics or your mind or your feelings, you're going to go back, because thought processes change based on situations. And analytics change based on numbers and procedures and things. But God's word is constant.
Amen.
So as we wrap it up, don't hold on to what you want when God has declared something else for you. You got to let go of what you want. Don't hold on to that. And especially when God has declared something else for you. You got to understand that. That's that whole double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Because you keep trying to gravitate to what you want versus what God said. And you can't change what God said. And don't even go there with me. And talk about when man was able to get God to change his mind about not killing everybody in the city. Listen, this is a whole different situation. You can't change the word of God, the destination for your life, because of your own free will and your own flesh. It's important to understand. When we're holding on and dealing with the promise of God, sometimes God's promise is greater. Well, I won't say sometimes. God's promise for us is always greater than our desire.
Yes, amen.
And that's what we have to decide. Which one is more important? His promise or my desire? His promise or my feeling? Do you want to be right or do you want to be blessed?
I
want to be blessed. And that's the thing. That's the key at times. I had to learn as I changed and became the man, because I used to always pray and teach other people. I always pray, and I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, make me into the man that you created me to be. And I prayed that prayer all my life, and I've taught other people to pray that, men and women, and that's how I became who God wanted me to be, and I'm operating in that because I don't have my own desire. But there's some. It used to be a time that I was in conflict because what I wanted, I didn't really care what God said, you know, because I wanted God's children to suffer. You ever been hurt and you like, Lord, get them? Oh, have I prayed the get them prayer? Hollywood, your pastor have prayed him some good get them prayers. But then I found out that the get them prayer wasn't contrary to the blessing in my life. So when you're dealing with the promises of God, the promises, the Bible says, and then we're out of here. The Bible says the promises of God are yea and amen. So that we should walk in agreement with his promises, not walk in the will of our flesh. And so I've learned it's more important to say, Lord, I'll stand in the gap and pray for them instead of saying, Lord, get them. So if somebody got to pray for them, Lord, and since they hurt me, I'm a good candidate. Yep.
Amen.
That's when I recognize I change. Instead of me saying, Lord, get them, I said, Lord, I'll stand in the gap for them because they need somebody that understands how much they need forgiveness. So I'll be the one that'll do it. That's when God started trusting me. When people would say harmful things, and all I'd say is, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's how peace started developing in my household. And that's when people come in our house, they don't feel the weight of heaviness, because there's no weight of heaviness there, because God's Spirit dwells there. Forgiveness dwells there. When my family comes there, I don't say, guess who I talked to today? You won't believe. When Tiff come over there, she never hear, girl, let me tell you about that last counseling session. Girl, it was wild. You think my flesh don't want to say something? My flesh want to be like, you would never believe Tiff popped the popcorn because I got some stuff to tell you. But the first time I do that is the last time God's going to trust me. And I need him to trust me. Amen. Because he keeps saying, we ain't seen nothing yet. I want to see more. I want to see more of the blessings of God. So I have to walk with God to keep seeing the blessing of God. So we have to learn how to deal with the promise of God. Okay? Yeah and amen. I want to be able to agree. Yes and amen. Yes, Lord. And I agree with you and what you want, not agree with what I want. Because I recognize what I want is some dangerous thing. Sometimes my flesh want a temporary pleasure, and I have to learn how many temporary pleasures got me into a long situation that it took God seasons to get me out of. I'm too old for that. I can't go back. I don't have boots high enough to get me to dig out of some stuff that God has got me out of. If you ever walked in Blessing Lane, you don't want to go back to Trouble Island. When God is giving you some faithful people who shows you what real love is, you don't have time to go back to those sap suckers. When you have really gone to a church that you can feel the love of God and you can see people that love God, you know, we're all quirky. Okay, we all have issues. Oh, yes. But when you can go to a place and people receive you in all of your quirkiness, you walk out saying, I must not be as bad as I thought.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't see Lynn any other day but Wednesdays. But when she comes here, she lights up. Lynn looks forward to her Wednesday night as much as I look forward to seeing her. See, she's like, hey. That's an awesome thing. But walking in the promises of God, I'll never forget, and I'm out of here. I'll never forget when Lynn came to a church service. And I remember when God prophesied and said some things to her and her husband. I remember the things that happened, and God had somebody screaming and hollering in the church. And I remember the sound system went out, freaked her husband out. He's never come back and walked in the sanctuary again. But guess what? Lynn did. Amen. I remember there are certain things that God told me to tell Lynn, and those things happened in her household and certain things. She didn't think, and when she recognized it, she was like, listen, God got to be real. Because I remember me and this man praying and stuff happened. So listen, but there's promises that God has for us that won't make sense. And we need to stop trying to make things make sense. We need to just make them be. Stop trying to make them make sense. Just make sure you help them be. Period. He is still a deliverer. Let him deliver you from that issue. Let him get you out of that ditch you're in. Come on, Joseph and Josiah. Josephine. Okay. Are you understanding? We've all slipped into some things. Let him carry you into your destiny. Are we getting this? Are we getting this?
Yes.
If you don't sit down and quit talking to people, I don't see adorableness. I just see somebody about to get popped. Are we getting this?
Yes.
So, what? I got you. So, me doing this, I guess. You want a belt, Pastor? I got one for you. It's important to understand how to, we have to learn how to deal with the promises. They're not always easy. When God says, this too shall pass, when God is letting you know the seasons change, well, you got to understand sometimes you're like, well, I haven't seen a change. Trust and believe change is coming. Because you know my favorite word in the Bible. Just like that, everything you prayed for is now a reality. The season you were in is now gone. You made one decision, and now you're operating in faith when last week you were like, I don't know about that faith thing. Amen? You're going to tell me, nobody will ever be able to take away the conversations that I've had with Stacey, and 99.99 of them, she was angry. Telling me how God, what God's not and what he don't do and how he do with everybody else. And I remember one time I had to tell her, as much as I love her, I said, you ain't gonna disrespect my God like that. You are not gonna talk about my God, because she was in my house. I said, you ain't gonna be sitting in my house and talking about my God like that. Oh, I remember it. I tell you where we were. We were in my office. And, yeah, see? It was heated. And I was like, well, if you're gonna yell, I'm gonna yell too. And now she's sitting here talking about, yeah, the Holy Spirit. Now she'll call me and be like, guess what? The Holy Spirit said this, and I was like this. And I was like, oh, so y'all just talking? Y'all on first name basis now? Oh, it went from he don't even talk to you, that don't even work, to now he told you what to do, and you were like, okay. And I'm like, oh, y'all just cool like that? Y'all just call each other anytime and just talk? But sometimes when you're dealing with the promise of God, sometimes you got to stand up in the gap. And when somebody's trying to tell you what they got, you got to represent him. Are we getting this? Sometimes people don't know, and you got to let them know. You may not know, but I'm going to know for the both of us. Period. So when people say, well, that don't work, or I don't believe that, you don't have to believe it, but it don't make it not real. It doesn't make it not true. You understand? As we wrap this up, you know, Paul said, you know, I'm waiting on God to get us into, you know, our next building. Well, it will never happen until the church tithe. Silence. I don't care. There's a whole bunch that don't. That's in here that love them some breakthrough. And we will never leave this building until the church tithe, for real. And I mean tithe, not givers. Not give what you want or give what you decide it fits into your budget. But it's not on me, because Jimmy cracked corn and I don't care. It doesn't faze me. I am not that young, angry pastor that's like, Lord, get him. I'm like, Lord, whatever. Are you understanding? Because I don't have a desire to be in a big building. If we get there, we get there. But you understand? All I got to do is preach the word to whatever place we're in. What'd you say? Or outside, depending on the weather. Not if it's cold. Are we getting this? We all have to deal with the promise of God. But I said that to say, there are people who, listen, will die saying they don't agree with tithing. I don't care what you agree with. I know the benefits of it. I live it to this day. Be quiet. I live it. I know for myself. I know what he's done. I've seen the testimonies. I know how real. So it never has to be real. Just like the same way people don't believe in tithing. Some people don't believe that God's real. You can say he's not. I know the benefits of it. So it's proven to me. So I'm dealing with the promises. I'm living in the promises. And so that's what we have to do, even when it's contrary to somebody else's thought process. Are you getting that? So I want to encourage you guys, everybody under the sound of my voice, deal with the promises. Not they won't all be good. Sometimes they're going to conflict with some things on the inside of you. Go through the conflict. Three words, work it out. Amen?
Amen.
Work it out. I share things because I want y'all to be free. I told y'all all those years when I was praise team leader and youth minister, and I told you what I said my tithe was. My tithe was my participation. I laugh every time. I laugh every time because I was like, they ain't getting nothing else out of me. I'm like, and I was going to church 7 days a week. I was like, listen, and I live 45 minutes away, and I was at church every single day. I was like, that's my tithe, until I recognized that's between me and the church. That don't have nothing to do with God. And when I start doing it, and God start changing stuff, and I start giving it to him, and start changing stuff in me, I said, Lord, shoot, you can't tell me nothing. Now I don't care what God gives me as far as my salary. Whatever my salary will ever be, 10% is automatic to him. Automatic. I want us to deal with those promises so that you can have a pastor that can tell you about how he used to be crazy with his non-tithing self, putting signs on chairs, scaring people away. I know. I try to give you a vision to let you know that God will do it if you let him. He'll change those crazy thoughts and ways in you and rebellious thing. I was a praise team leader, youth minister, and I still had all that rebellion in my heart. Going to church 7 days a week with all that rebellion in my heart. Oof. Thank God he didn't end me right then and there, because I never would have been able to see what God would do. So, what I challenge you this week is something else. What I challenge you up until next week. What did he promise you? And are you living up to the standard that would be able to get it? What did he promise you? What did he say to you? Are you doing what you're supposed to do to get to Blessing Lane, or are you still on Rebellion Island? Are you still on Know-It-All Boulevard? Or, nope, I'm not going to do it, drive. Because your pastor was there, nope, I'm not going to do it. And God had blocked so many things. Thank God things came when I decided to say yes, Lord, when everything became yay and amen. 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 I'll never stop telling the story about how I used to be, because I always want people to know God will move you and change them, but your heart and your mind got to change also. Are we getting this?
Yes.
All right. I challenge you. What did he say? Write it down. What did he promise you? Are you on route to it? Are you en route to it? If so, keep doing it. If you're not, make those slight adjustments, because they're slight. No matter how big your flesh is lying, it's a slight thing. Because suddenly, as soon as you make that change, God will get those things aligned again. Are we getting this? Are we understanding? Because if he keeps saying, you ain't seen nothing yet, you think how you're living and what you're doing, you think this is big? If eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard, that means you're included with the eyes and ears. That means this is nothing compared to what he wants to do. But some of them has to be lined up with obedience. And that obedience will have a conflict with our will and our desire. And until we go through that conflict, we'll never get the benefits of basking in his glory. Amen. And sometimes he will make us uncomfortable temporarily until we become perfectly comfortable with his peace. But we have to deal with that conflict first. Amen. 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 All right. Amor said amen. Me Joyce said amen. So amen it is. Yes, you did, Abraham. Amen. Okay. The Old Testament has spoken. Abraham has said amen. Okay. Let's stand. That means you, there it is. I said that means you too, Anthony. When we say stand, amen. Father, we thank you. 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 We thank you for everything you said specifically to us individually tonight. Thank you for pouring out tonight, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for pouring out independently, individually, speaking to us. Thank you for things that we took mental notes on, digital notes on, physical paper notes on. Thank you for things we said, oop, that was for me. Thank you for the deposits. You said, oh my God, you spoke right to me. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us and personalizing it for us as we're dealing with the promises and going through conflicts and going through resolution. We thank you. You maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. We thank you for the making of the rich. And we thank you for adding no sorrow to the richness. We bless your name. 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 Blessings are under your name, Jesus. Healing is under your name, Jesus. Faithfulness is under your name, Lord Jesus. Renewal is under your name. A start, we get to start over in your name. We get to be refreshed in your name, Lord God. We get to be faithful again in your name, Lord God. We get to be honorable in your name. It's all in your name. All power is in your name. All change is in your name. We can do it all in your name. We can have a changed mind in your name. A changed behavior in your name. We claim it. We claim it. Specifically, independently, Lord God, we claim it. Collectively, we claim it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You're dismissed. Let somebody know that they're special before you get out of this church building today.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you received something and that you're one step closer to your breakthrough. Do us a favor. If you enjoyed this message, be sure to share it with your family and friends. And if you're looking for a way to support the ministry, visit the link in this episode's description to see how you can give today. Breakthrough is big on building up the kingdom of God through sharing the gospel. One thing that has made reaching the people easy for us is using Anchor. If you've never heard of Anchor, it's a platform used to record, edit, and distribute podcasts. It's everything you need in one place. And what's even better is it's completely free. If you're looking to start a podcast or just curious about Anchor, make sure to download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.